today on Real Radio.
Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And by the way, that's not a suggestion. Gosh, I've submitted to God and I've resisted the devil and he's still hanging around. No, that word means he must leave. I love that. If you submit to God and resist the devil, guess what? The Lord says, hey, Louie, you got to go.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Rule of God in the End, Part 2, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, the prophet Isaiah is well known for both his near and far prophecies. God used him, of course, to warn Judah and the city of Jerusalem of the coming judgment if they don't turn from their sin. But God also gave him visions far into the future, the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and also what will happen in the last days when Christ returns. In part 1 from Isaiah chapter 14, we looked at how God is a God of mercy and that he will never give up on Israel. We also learned that Isaiah is now able to see behind the scenes of human governments and into the powers that pull the strings. The angel Lucifer was cast down from heaven for wanting to be like God and has deceived many nations and many of us. He's a very real, invisible enemy, but in the end, God will destroy him. Now in part 2, we'll look into Satan's war plan and how we can fight against him. So today, on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that every Christian is at war with Satan and his attacks. But when we submit to God and resist Satan, Satan's got to flee. It's going to take discipline to take hold of our thoughts, but when we put on the whole armor of God, we can overcome any temptation. And now continuing his lesson called The Rule of God in the End, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
My doctor told me a while back, he said, you need to drink this much water a day. So I thought, and I'm really bad this way. So it turned out to be 100 ounces a day. 100 ounces of water a day. You take your body weight and then you cut it in half and make that ounces, you drink that. There's 100 for me. So I'm thinking, well, if 100's good, then I'll do 150. And did you know that you can drink too much water? Yeah. Well, I didn't know that. I'm really bad about it. I mean, if Lisa would say he is bad about that. It's like, well, wait a minute. So if 10 walnuts make your heart better, well, I'll eat 50. That's not how you're supposed to do it. You see, it could be a benign desire, but we make it messed up. I want to be careful about that. He can take these things. He'll bait us with these things. And then listen, he'll often offer to us what I would just call a replacement theology for everything. He will replace the true with the false if it's fun enough, if there's glitz enough, if it strokes our ego enough. We will cash in on the true and go with the replacement. He does it with Christianity by unorthodox Christianity. He takes reason, biblically based, and creates philosophies. Humanism, secularism. He creates cults and the occult. He doesn't care. It's one of his works. The next question is, what is our war plan against him? How do we fight him? I'm going to go through these quickly. Number one, mark it down if you would. We war. Can you write that down in your notes? What do we do? What do we do against the satanic attack? Number one, we war. And I really hesitated in writing this one down for fear of people tuning me out at this point. We are to war against the enemy, the devil, Satan. We're to war. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or of this world, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. You and I, the Christian is at war with the devil in the kingdom of darkness. Don't raise your hand, but you're a Christian tonight, right? Yep, you're at war. When we read about the armament, we'll read about it before we end here in a moment, the armament of the Christian warrior in Ephesians 6, everything's covered, have you noticed, except the back of the soldier, back of the Christian. Your rear end and your back is left exposed. Why? Because the Christian soldier's never to retreat. You're to never turn around and run from the battle, ever. We war. Number two, we resist. We've been commanded to resist. So Christian, in this life, just determine it now, you're at war. Number two, you're called to resist. The Bible says in James 4, verse 7, therefore submit to God. That's the key, by the way. You want to win? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And by the way, that's not a suggestion. Gosh, I've submitted to God, and I've resisted the devil, and he's still hanging around. No, that word means he must leave. I love that. If you submit to God and resist the devil, guess what? The Lord says, hey, Louie, you got to go. Take your horns and your hooves. Get out of here. I love that. Number three, we discipline. You know discipline? We discipline ourselves. We discipline. We get ready. Are you spiritually ready for a fight? Are you spiritually ready to war and to resist? We are to discipline. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. We are to be, listen to this, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Wow. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Oh, we need this today. Thoughts. What thoughts go through your head? Are they crazy? You ever have crazy thoughts? Have you ever had crazy thoughts in church? Yeah. It's like, man, you have this. And you're sitting there, you're like, I mean, I have this too. I have this too sometimes when I'm teaching. It's like this thought goes into my head and it's like, whoa. I mean, you don't know that because I don't go, whoa. But it's like, whew, you know what I'm saying? And you're sitting out there and you have this crazy thought because you're totally tracking. You're like, oh, praise the Lord. I've got that verse and that makes me think of another verse and I'm going to do that when I get home. And this is, and then this thing goes, boop. And it's like, ah. And then you start thinking, I'm not a Christian. There's no way a Christian could think like that. It's out of nowhere. What do you do with that? You grab it. You grab it and take it captive. You just say, Lord, that's not for me. I hate that. That scares me. That's freaky. I don't want anything to do with that. Lord, take it out of my life now in Jesus' name. Get that out of here. Well, how long do you do that? I don't know. 10, 25 times an hour or a day? I don't know. It depends. You fight. You discipline. And then the fourth is that fight. We do fight. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Thank God. It's not a motivational statement. Think of that. Finally, my brethren, be strong in yourself. You think a happy thought, you get out there, you tornado, you. No. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Woo! Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, that's the trickery of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Christian, this is who you're fighting, invisible demonic spirits that are unseen by your natural eyeball. You can't see it. They're in a different wavelength. They're in a different realm. They're real. They never sleep. They're always attacking you. You say, well, I haven't been attacked in a while. Well, then you got to do something for Jesus. Do something for Jesus, and you'll see what I'm talking about. But he goes on. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Look at verse 13. Therefore, freak out. Pull your head over the covers and... No, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, right now, 21st century, today, this month, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, that's Bible doctrine, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, that's doing the right thing, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel, being ready to tell people about Jesus, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Isn't that beautiful? How many of the darts? All of them. Christian, we can stop being victims now and take up the whole armor of God, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. Notice where it's at. Salvation covers your head. And there it is, the Makaira of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Finally, we pray. Ephesians 6:18 says that in this plan against Satan, we war against him this way. We pray always with all prayer and supplication, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. This is serious stuff. You guys, we lose this, or you lose this, and you're not going to make it to the end. You're going to get eaten up by the enemy, which leads us to this, and we'll push here down to the end. Where can we expect to meet the devil in this battle? Yeah, good, exactly. Everywhere. And I just hesitate to come to this point right here, because do you understand? Can you guys hear me tonight? Can you hear me out there? You guys, this battle is for real, and you're gonna encounter the enemy, Satan, Lucifer, everywhere, or his demons, everywhere. So what would that look like? It's everywhere, and it's happening when whatever is before you is anti-will of God. If there is something that comes to your attention that is offensive to this book, the Bible, God's will written down in ink, you have encountered the enemy. Think of it for a moment. A lot of Christians are walking around making up new rules. There are no new rules. This is the old rule. It's this. If we are not in line with this, we're playing into the hands of the enemy. If we are saying, well, truth to me is, you're in the hands of the enemy. This is very serious. Satan is at work at all levels to influence. That's what he does. The church, at home, the office, any place of influence and or power. Have you noticed throughout human history how much Satan loves to influence for destruction children's lives? Have you noticed that? Have you noticed from Genesis to Revelation, Satan targets kids? Look what's happening in the world right now. Children are being targeted by the tens of thousands, killed because they're kids. Children. I'm not talking about abortion. I'm talking about persecution. Children. That's what Satan does. I want to show you guys a video. You guys, this is... But I want you to listen to this, and then we'll end. You guys, this is from 1965. Did you already say young people? 1965 or 1966? I don't remember. Listen to this. 1965, 1966. Play it.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve, do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
That's prophetic, is it not? 1965 or 1966. And that's exactly what's going on. Why? The enemy is having his way. Those things, amazing, amazing things. Church, let's stand right now. And I want to just end in prayer. I want to pray over you. And I want you to be thinking tonight. You see, I opened up the message this evening challenging you that most so-called Christians today do not even believe in the existence of a real devil. And I think that is the easiest surrender to the argument that there could possibly be. The most dangerous condition for you to be in is if you do not recognize the fact that you have an enemy. If your enemy can convince you into thinking that he's not your enemy, then he's got you. Nature is full of such deceptions. Insects and bugs and birds and reptiles put on some sort of a face, as it were, to get near to its prey, right? So maybe you're here tonight and you're thinking, well, this is so silly because I don't believe in a real satanic power. You fell over with just the snap of his baby finger. You fell for it. But he's truly real. And the only way for you to be able to disarm him is not by weapons. It's not by garlic around your neck or holy water. It's by, as it were, being able to put a no vacancy sign on your chest, because the hole that is in you is filled by Jesus Christ. If you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart, in your life, as Lord and Savior, then you're vacant tonight. And you are open to the control of the enemy. Very serious. Very dangerous. Let's pray right now. And I want to do two things. I want to pray for all of you. And I also want to pray for you tonight who have never accepted Christ. You have fallen victim to the enemy far too long. And maybe tonight is your night that you recognize and realize that you're a sinner. Christ died for your sins, but you must bow your knee to him as Lord and Savior. In repentance of that, God, I'm sorry. I've sinned against you. I've offended you, eternal God, with my life. And I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. Let's pray together. Father, I just ask, Lord God, now in the hearing of this place, Heavenly Father, that you would come upon all of these here, that you would literally, Lord, spiritually galvanize them to the Christian life, all of us, that we would be suited up, Lord, like lights and shining armor. We pray for greater discernment, wisdom, knowledge from heaven, not from of earth, not from this world, not from philosophers, not from the age, but from heaven. We ask you to baptize us afresh in the power of your Holy Spirit, that we would walk in power, no longer being led by our thoughts and our own whims, but Lord, by your Holy Spirit. And to you tonight, maybe you're here, and you have no assurance that if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven. You're hoping, you're thinking, you're wondering maybe. Listen, if you have to hope, think, and wonder, you are not going. The Bible says all those who have eternal life, they know that they do. These things have been written that you might know you have eternal life. If you don't know that tonight, it's because you don't have it. But can you agree with God tonight? Can you say that you are a wretch? You are a manipulator. You are self-centered. You are for pleasure. You're a sinner. And that you need forgiveness and you need a new life. If that's you tonight, you pray this prayer. Dear Lord, save me from my sins. Wash me clean. I confess tonight, Jesus died on the cross for my sins, that he rose again from the dead, and I surrender my life tonight to the Almighty God, and I invite you into my life. Live through me, my Lord Jesus. In your name I pray. And all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Rule of God in the End, Part 2. Thanks for joining us today, and our hope is that you have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, because only Christ can fill the void in your heart. The Rule of God in the End, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, by the way, if you've made a decision for Christ and you need some help or you just want to talk to someone about it, head on over to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click the contact tab. We would love to get in touch with you. We'd like to have some contact with you, get somebody in touch that can help you in your walk with Christ. Again, if you've just made a decision for Christ, or maybe you need some hand-holding along the way, that's not a problem. Get a hold of us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, we've got a special offer for you from Pastor Jack, and I'd like to tell you about it. It's called Look What Jesus Christ Did. He did an amazing work. And it's from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 22. In this four-part message on DVD, Pastor Jack explains exactly what Jesus Christ did for us and what the Bible teaches about eternity, redemption, water baptism, and so much more. Many of us know that Jesus Christ lived here on earth and that he died on a cross, but do we truly understand what he actually did? The Apostle Peter's very purpose for living was to boldly claim what Jesus Christ did for all of humanity. He died for both the just and the unjust by taking that debt that we owed to God for our sins and carried it to the cross. Jesus literally died in our place so that we could spend eternity in heaven with him. So again, this special four-part message is called Look What Jesus Did. He did an amazing work from 1 Peter chapter 3. It's available for your gift of any amount, and you can get it at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. When giving your gift, make sure you request Look What Jesus Did. He did an amazing work. Get this special offer today at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.